catching you up on the latest stories from around the Sunshine State that you should know heading into this Monday morning. I'm Sammy Ewing, and this is The Point from WUFT News. The fifth anniversary of the Pulse nightclub shooting in Orlando took place on June 12, 2021. The community came together in remembrance of the tragedy and held a week of ceremonies to honor the 49 lives lost. I spoke with Matthew Petty from WMFE about the anniversary.
So on Saturday, there were a couple of events, kind of keystone events. The first was bell ringing ceremony, and this is something that's happened every year. Since the Pulse nightclub shooting, they've rung out 49 bells. That's one for each of the people who died at the Pulse nightclub, and they read the name. So it's a very solemn ceremony. This took place at the First United Methodist Church in downtown Orlando. And so they would ring a bell, read the name of the person, and then move on. It doesn't take too long to get through those names, but it's a very moving ceremony because in the audience, as these names were being read out, were some of the family members of the victims. Some of them actually got up and read out some of the names as well. People really emotional about it, even 5 years on, you know. And I talked to some of the people who are in attendance, and it's interesting. One comment made to me by State Representative Carlos Guillermo Smith, one thing he's noted is that grief doesn't really move in a linear fashion. It kind of comes and goes, and certain things will trigger it. And in some ways, it seems like the shooting was just yesterday. In other ways, it seems like it was a very long time ago. There is a sense from folks I talk to that, you know, although some progress has been made in sort of equality and sort of fighting for some of the reforms on the firearms issues that people have been fighting for, there's still much, much work to be done.
In your article, you mentioned that Governor Ron DeSantis had vetoed $150,000 that would have gone directly into a program to support the mental health of survivors. Can you tell me a little bit about that?
Yeah, so this was some funding that was earmarked for the Orlando United Assistance Center. And this funding would have gone to pay for mental health assistance for survivors and family members. For the folks who were interested and invested in this program, a kind of a significant blow there. So there's also the issue of the timing of this. Of course, the budget was signed just not too long ago. So that was signed, that this money was vetoed from that budget. And then this is right before the, you know, marking 5 years since the Pulse nightclub shooting. So for people who were hoping to see this funding come through, that was kind of a slap in the face. There's a real sense, I think, that more needs to be done to make sure they're not left behind.
Is there an alternative that Representative Smith is looking towards to acquire funding to help advocate for the mental health of survivors?
Yeah, I mean, I think they're looking to raise, I believe, $10,000 or so. When I checked, actually, they'd already started getting some of those funds together. So they're looking to raise $10,000. We're recording this interview on Sunday. They're about a third of the way there. And the plan is for that money to go to the Orlando United Assistance Center. This provides things like mental health counseling, other kind of services for people who may be affected by this. In the aftermath of the decision to deny that funding request, there's also been some other help coming in. So the center, the LGBT plus center in Orlando, they're also looking for some funding. And people who've been following this story, people who live in Orlando, will know that the center was a very prominent institution. I mean, it's always been important for the LGBTQ plus community in Central Florida, but right after the shooting in 2016, that kind of became a drop-in center, a place where people could go for support, for counseling.
Is there anything else you would like to add?
It's just one of those stories where, you know, there's a very long tail to it. There are people, survivors of the shooting, who, you know, they'll carry the scars of this, you know, both physically and mentally for a very long time. As I said earlier, it's for some folks, you know, it seems like this was just yesterday. The memory is still very fresh. For others, it seems like it happened a long time ago. But it's a story that is never really going to go away for Orlando. It's always going to be part of the fabric and the culture of the city, for better or worse.
That was Matthew Petty from member station WMFE about the Pulse nightclub shooting's fifth anniversary. Head to WMFE.org for more information. Now let's get into some of the top headlines. Sweetwater Wetlands Park is doing its job. That, according to a study that shows the park exceeds expectations in removing nitrogen from natural water resources. According to the Gainesville Sun, the park restores the natural flow of Payne's Prairie and cleans water before it gets into the Florida aquifer and becomes drinking water. The park's construction permits required a 5-year study plan, but a Gainesville spokesperson says the park exceeds expectations. The city has applied to be released for monitoring requirements. Williston is now home to a tiny entertainment area. According to WCJB, the Homestead Tiny House Company bought a former Winn-Dixie and will be renovating it over the next 3 years. However, their open-air market will be opening in about 6 months, and soon after, they will open a coffee shop. In it will be a market, a concert hall, and tiny homes for guests to stay in and enjoy. In October of 2020, the CDC ordered a conditional sailing order to begin reopening the cruise industry, which has been a key role in the lawsuit between the industry and Florida. According to WUSF, a legal settlement conference to find a financial median for the cruise industry and the state has been largely ineffective. As of Thursday and Friday, U.S. District Judge Stephen Merriday has not declared a ruling for the lawsuit. Subscribe to the Point newsletter, which drops the latest Florida stories into your inbox every morning, Monday through Friday at 8 a.m. Visit WUFT.org for more information. I'm Sammy Ewing, and you've been listening to The Point from WUFT News out of the University of Florida. Happy Monday.